Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
You Cannot Say, an amazing poem turned into a song written by my big brother, Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music that you just heard is Shout Even Shy, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group, writing group, family that hangs out at allpoetry.com, one of the largest poetry sites out there. And you can join for free if you're interested. And if you're already a member or you do join, you'll find us under the tab called Groups. Just scroll until you see us. We are a team of voices. Knock on the door and I'll meet you there. And most nights we have poetry going on and different prompts, different hosts. Always a great time. But tonight we'll be doing it a little bit different. We won't be having calls or commenting. We will be presenting a audio drama, part of the Sleeping Beauty series that was written. It's called Never Sleep Again, and the writer is We Are All Gonzo. And Hatter and AP and myself had a clip from this on our Saturday shows, and it was like in 10 pieces. And it was, you know, tune in next week for some more. Well, tonight, Gonzo has put it all onto one epic adventure, and you can just sit back and enjoy his hard work, and then we will come back and say goodbye to you all. And in the meantime, say hey to Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, hey, let's go Gonzo.
I know, it's going to be cool to hear it all.
Yeah.
You know, back to back.
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to it. And we're all really impressed at all the work that went into making this. It's
yeah,
like
definitely.
The voices, the storyline, the conversations, the characters, they really did a brilliant job. Him and everyone that participated with him. It was so impressive. So I guess we will get this show on the road, Big Bro, and we will enjoy it, and I will talk to you briefly again after the presentation.
Yep.
And
okay.
With that being said, everyone, here we go with the audio drama Never Sleep Again by We Are All Gonzo and a little help from some of his friends. Here we go.
The doors to the Crooked Creek Hay Bale Pub swung open with force, and in walked a lovely dove of a lass, carrying a sheathed sword in one hand, the other motioned for a glass.
What kind of fairy tale animal does a girl have to kiss to get a drink around here?
May I introduce myself? I'm Rumpelstiltskin, and this is Rumpelstiltskin.
It's a joke, creep. Not enough booze, not enough darkness.
She sat at the bar and scoured the crowd, hoping to find the right person, but for now, she'd settled for the right beverage, she thought. The bard, busied by blaring bellows of fellow fairy tale mellows, wallows lost of another path, until you stared at the beauty, mustering the will to ask.
Well, why are you doing that? Stop. Stop doing that.
Me?
Stop narrating what you're doing and what I'm doing.
Oh, sorry. I'm a bard. We play merry and entertain, you see.
Are you any good? After the night I've had, I could use a few songs to distract me.
Why, I'm worth my weight in gold, good lady. Gentlemen, gentlemen, over here. Over here. We have a customer. One, two, three. For one gold piece, I'll share my hair-raising tale of a girl so fair who wanted nothing overly rare. Just some one-on-one time with a special person in her life, her only friend. Instead, she was caught, found herself in the ties that bound her revenge.
Yeah, I think I heard something similar, but show me what you got, little man.
A story like no other you'll concede to me. Here's a dashing revenge of Sleeping Beauty.
Scarlet gown floated, swift flowing, wisped with each new skip, whistling herself a dandy tune while the morning sun fought the waning moon. Strolling and skipping, dense brush hid the danger, but she was always taught never to engage with a stranger.
Little girl, I need help looking for my dog made of candy.
What's your dog's name?
His name is I'm Safe. So just hold my hand and we'll walk around yelling out, I'm Safe! I'm Safe! You first!
Sturdily, her cane came up very quick, caught him dead center of his now blue biscuit.
Listen, creep, I got no time for your perverted ways. If I see you in my path in the future, I'll break more than yours.
Oh, yeah, threat well received. I'm a creep indeed.
The pervert strolled across the plain, throbbing with pulsating pain. Less than a threat was a promise for sure, for none understood the girl under the hood was no regular girl strolling alone in the woods. The twists and twirls of her blonde curls held inside a mind of devious design. Little Red Riding up to no good with desires to burn and bury the world. Continuing along, she kept whistling her song while skipping to and fro. Unaware, she had dropped a couple of items from her pack during her attack against the pedo. A cookie and note had drifted down from Red's coat and lightly fell to the ground. Fingers curled round with focused intention, delighted for what they had found. Unknown to Red burned a fury far greater, the kind that stirs into a purr or a growl beyond normal nature. Violent, fantastical dreams only violence seems to cure. Someone was watching Red stroll through the woods with eyes both fierce and demure.
See you soon, Red.
Stupid lock. Always sticks. There we go.
Sure, I'm just in the back.
We aren't open for another 30 minutes. You can wait if you want. The ovens aren't even warm.
Sleepy locked eyes with an enemy she despised. Red accurately knocked a tray of half-filled parfait off the counter into the way of the furious Sleepy as Red ran. A quick flick of Sleepy's wrist, a rip, turned the cloak a whip, and gripped Red's lower ankle at a sharp angle, causing her legs to entangle and trip, sending her careening towards the table.
Listen, we can't do this here.
Sleepy did not heed Red's sudden plea as a peachy key to the knee and a soccer kick to the spleen sent Red crashing away through a dirty bagel display.
Enough!
Red shouted with a sick grin as she grabbed a pair of rolling pins and began spiling both between her hands, swiftly swinging nearer to Sleepy's glands. Expert precision as Sleepy reached for her blade from the sheath hidden where the sword had laid, but never fully revealing the blade as Red attempted to evade Sleepy's glaring gaze. Sliding the casing down never more than an inch or two, Red's frustration grew and grew.
You were never this good. It doesn't matter. I'm better.
As the two entangled, strangled in the drama of the moment.
I hate you.
I hate you too. I hate you times a thousand.
I hate you times a million. I hate you times a million. Infinity.
Anything times infinity is infinity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Grandma stepped off the bus, and no one noticed.
What happened here?
Quickly, they hid their weapons from sight and stood nonchalantly, smiling, polite.
My baked goods? The displays are destroyed? For the love of God, no one watered my azaleas!
You know what, Nana? You remember that huntsman?
Mm-hmm.
The one with the axe?
Yes.
He came here hungry this morning, and when I told him we weren't open,
mm-hmm.
He started acting like a big fool. He threw a tantrum and left.
Well, we should call the sheriff.
I already did. Go in the back and get some tea. Try and relax while I clean this mess up.
The pair stood awkwardly in a stare of doom as Grandma slowly worked her way out of the room, silent, standing, unsure of what to do.
Do you want a cup of coffee?
Sleepy stared.
I'm not going to poison, it's just decaf.
Sure.
Still take a black like you're used to?
Don't act all familiar. We got unfinished business and you know it.
Listen, I know we did you dirty. And I sure heck know this fight ain't over. As long as that little old lady is in that room, you have no trouble from me.
Sleepy nods and sits down.
I'll ask you again, how do you like your coffee?
As the coffee pot shatters beside Sleepy's head, Red slipped the Glock from inside a loaf of bread. Stopped dead in her tracks by several clicks and a few more clacks of cleaving glass and cups sliding off their rack. The silent blade slipped through the counter, looking for Red. Oh, and it found her. Red dropped to the floor with a whine while Sleepy wiped the blade clean on the loaf Red supplied. Someone in the corner? Perhaps danger.
What have you done to my beautiful granddaughter?
I know you may not want to hear it, but that brat deserved it. One day you might want to come find me to finish this. On that day, I'll be waiting.
I swear, day and night, I will train my body to become the ultimate killing machine to exact horrific and painful vengeance upon you when you least expect it. Lay awake. Be afraid to blink, for my wrath will be swift and...
Before Granny's revenge would even begin to start, the excitement was too much for her little old heart. Sleepy eyed the establishment and sparked a near candle. Vengeance on the mind of the vivacious, vicious vandal. A spark ignited grease as the yeast burst into flames. Sleepy darted under the door's arch and continued on her way, never turning back to gaze at the inferno blaze of far greater fire burned in her heart, her mission not finished that day. Although a smile crept from beneath the depths where it had once been hidden for quite some time, and a tear quite weird ran down her cheek as a memory flashed in her mind.
Prince Charming, do you take to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
And do you take Prince Charming as your lawfully wedded husband?
I'm sorry. Is this a bad time?
Cold stone slab sat flat in the middle of the drab, rat-infested death trap. Lay atop beauty everlasting, grasping for the next breath, rasping, restrained by drastic wraps of plastic. Distant from the edge of a dream, Sleepy seemed to hear a conversation between one voice beaming with esteem and another muffled voice boasting of their successful scheme.
I'm not awake.
Unconsciously aware, her subconscious needing repair, as she herself found her mind bouncing through memories past highlights of her despair.
I'm not happy about this marriage.
I'm ecstatic.
This day means the world to me.
I promise to always be true.
You know, for a night, you're a real Prince Charming.
My place is at your side, forever.
You two are made for each other. Are you sure he makes you happy?
Yes, stepmother.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, my queen. I'm sorry. Is this a bad time?
Wake up!
Sleepy sprung back to life, sliding her body to the side, struggling for breath while trying to cry. Heartbeat in her ears joined by a glorious ring, supplementing sounds of the outside world, the tone enveloping. Ripping through the passive restraints before a rush of blood, she began to faint. Sleepy flipped her body over. Frightened, she gripped her knees, curled her body, and pulled her legs closer. Her shivering teeth were chattering and cracked, too little body fat for heat, so no muscles would relax.
Who said that? Where am I?
Dragging a lifeless body slowly over cracks and stacks of cockroach carcasses as darkness intact revealed only grayscale rock and a door without a latch.
Nothing to fear, nothing to fear. Just your most mystical mate, the magical mirror.
Rising tall, standing on her feet, her body snapped, contorting, causing anguish and grief. Falling to her knees, no struggle to breathe, she may have been happy had anger not seeped from her core. Every pore forced her into a sleep. Now her eyes finally opened once more, she could see.
Feeling better?
I remember everything.
Good. Now I have something you want.
What could you possibly offer me, except their lives?
The magic mirror winced his cheek, unique as his eyes brightened wide, bearing down his widow's peak.
How could a mirror know?
Magic mirror.
Indeed the truth, a mirrored private eye, unconventional sleuth. Any surface reflective can be home to said detective from a coin kept collected to the shiniest silver tooth.
You want to know something really funny? You remember Goldilocks, don't you?
Sleepy could barely contain the rage flowing through her veins.
Of course you know Goldilocks. If I'm not mistaken, she shot you and your entire family with...
There's three bears, a girl named Red,
Jack. I remember Jack was there.
Hands grasped the framed glass, tearing straps and cracking clasps.
Oh, and the queen was watching.
Holy, that yellow-haired little backstabber and her three fat furry friends who shot your dearly beloved.
Well, they're just below us in the kitchen.
Well, the bears are. She's on her way. If you run fast enough, you might just catch them. Or maybe they'll kill all your loved ones again. Oh, wait.
Too late. Sleepy smashed the frame furiously, causing damage quite severe. So much for the mouthy magic mirror.
Oh no, I'm still here.
Mirror's face scattered across each piece of glass in Sleepy's personal space.
And I'll be watching you.
Give us a good show. Sleepy crept carefully, evading the scattered shards, peeping her head around the corner, checking for lookouts or guards. Down the stairs with haste and stealth, as deftly as the seas move shells, she stopped abrupt in shock and awe.
No way they're this stupid.
But indeed, a dragon was what she saw. Toes could not have tipped with a lesser click as her slick retreat and crafty feet worked like sweet arithmetic.
Hey, Sleepy!
Back behind the stone-broken pillar, her stomach curdling, her next, she'd be dinner.
I'm just messing with you.
This dragon sleeps and sleeps. It's so depressed and so boring.
Glittering light manifested in bright luminescent refracted, leaving Sleepy distracted.
Pull this pin, then run.
Pin slid and the shackle unclipped.
Running time.
Propelled by functioning quads and sheer terror, she jettisoned out of the immediate area. Round the corner, down the hall, past the three bears, who were perplexed by what they saw. The three bears poked their head out to spy a peek before smoke and fire charred each evenly. The dragon's patience never slackened, nor became complacent while the hallways blackened, continuing to chase the original game, becoming maddened with each failed flame. Sleepy hit a dead end, smacking at the brittle bricks when she turned around and found the dragon was closer than comfort would permit. With no other options left in her mind, she did the polite thing and apologized.
But I'm the one that set you free. Oh, please, please don't eat me.
The dragon scoffed and huffed, lifting itself up into the air, taking flight, crashing through the skylights and flying deep into the night. Sleepy was relieved, but realized there wasn't time since she would have to find Goldie and squeeze the life out of her just as demand payment for their crimes.
Okay, where the hell am I now?
Goldie wrapped her luscious locks around Sleepy's throat and began to gloat.
I've been waiting a long time, you know.
Who knew hair was so efficient at stopping air from entering one's lungs and sapping strength from the knees? Sleepy fought and crawled and dragged and clawed and managed to get Goldie off her feet. As Goldie rose, she froze a sad pose as she saw what was laid bare of the three protective bears.
I'm done playing babysitter. You're gonna die!
With a quick maneuver, once again, Goldie laced her strands of hair around Sleepy's neck and hand.
You know, if you keep chewing on your hair, you're gonna get a furball.
The mirror's sarcasm was not appreciated, but a mere stare at the table was fixated. Sleepy turned and spotted three bowls, grabbing one, but finding it cold, the second lukewarm, no menacing harm, but the third, piping hot, was the just right one all along. Burning a layer of skin on over half of her palm, Sleepy removed Goldie's grin and her chin with the liquid napalm. Even as Goldie screamed, a tear never fell from her eye, for the liquid sealed duck shut and she could no longer cry. Spastically, she thrashed and crashed along the shelves before unwittingly heading for a window. Mira unlocked the seventh tier glass encasement and Goldie soared through, splattering on a garden embankment.
Why did you do that?
I told you, dear girl. I have what you want, and if you play along, you just might have it all.
Sleepy unlocked the door Jason headed out through the castle's basement, passing a case in her haste, removing a blade for just in case, unaware her entertainment for the mirror, though with pleasure sadistically queer, had a deeper story than vengeance for her tragic fallen engagement.
So, evil stepmother, husband and other relative brutally murdered on your wedding day, coma for 5 years.
What?
Sleepy stopped in her tracks, taken aback by this final fact.
I've been asleep for 5 years? 5 years. Son of a...
How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I could do things my way?
Alone in the forever woods, made of stone and heavier goods, a clever dome home, brightly lit, brilliantly shone. Residence of a former scruff, witty, nimble, with not enough food on his plate, so to compensate, he had an overwhelming desire for stuff. At first understood and even admired, until greed took hold, becoming Jack's stronger desire. After struggling through the loss of his mother, he decided no longer he would feel want like another. Inside the shack lay a rather fat goose, overfed with loose tacks so he could produce golden eggs by the pack. But if it refused, Jack would rack his neck with the noose. Each golden gift the roosting goose left slid a rift between Jack and his royal, loyal pet. At first gentle was the boy with his pleas, bended knee begging he would bow to the swan, but the relationship crippled as time rippled on. Gathering wealth to hoard for himself, he entrapped the quacking rat with no slack to his shelf. Now, with surging broth, the goose itself struggles on, finding no more wishing for Jack to change his ways. Just wishing for a single moment outside of its cage.
Well now, I reckon it's about time you give me the good stuff, darling. Papa needs an advance on that paycheck. Don't make me use something worse. And quit sounding like a chicken. You're a goose. I hate that.
Jack shoved the cattle prod toward the fowl's jaws. It rattled and cawed. Pure agony for the battered bird, treated like refuse, needed an abuse as how it lived to serve its absurd recluse, not quite the life deserved. Steps ever slipped, creeped outside, quick and nimble, tips gripped a ledge while eyes pried. Each night, Goosey Goose would pray to get loose, but by instinct he cawed when a spine sleepy he saw. Jack gripped the bird like an AK, a pair of wings and a pair of feet in each hand, quite the display, staring eye to eye with the goose while the gooses faced the opposite way. Sleepy burst through the archway. Jack cocked the bird, head and stomach compressed, expelling, taking a golden egg to her chest. It felt like her lungs had went into a rest as her breast and the rest throbbed thoughtlessly through her vest.
Well, well, well. I've been waiting for you ever since I heard you escape the castle. Pretty little thing like you took one whole week to get to me. I'm disappointed. I figured I'd be higher on your list.
Sleepy coughed, ruby red gripping the cloak over her bruised bones as the mirror glared and stared from a window all alone. Jack grabbed Sleepy by the hair and dragged her down the stairs to the outside and then slammed her down on the ground with his might. He reached into his pocket, pulling out something green, and began littering the area with magical beans.
Now watch this.
Jack stood back and spat before her feet when Sleepy found herself at the peak of a 20-foot tree.
Ain't that a sight? These things are damn right magical. Thanks to that goose inside, I can afford a never-ending supply.
She eyed the wide 3-gallon bucket of water overflowing.
I think you know where this is going. Oh, by the way, say hi to the giant up there. You know, before he ripped you to shreds.
Splashing around as roots crashed to the ground, propelling the mound of leafy mass high in the sky. Sleepy found a vine held on for dear life as the stalk swayed side to side and began to petrify. It bent and slammed against an invisible brace, quite loud, a puffy masquerade designed to shroud the location of something both terrifying and beautiful. Sleepy dared to take a step, not knowing where the footings be next. She stood in front of the castle, silent, preparing to battle the hair-raising giant, pearlescent luminescence. The ivory tower stood proud, camouflaged within the mounds of fluffy clouds. Tales from past were told of creatures falling cold to the unforgiving ground, soundly crushed by rage uncontrolled. tossed down from the blue yonder, leaving a reminder of somber times ended, lost lives ran back, turning into the dust of old. Many armies lay siege to the sky domain, yet its single king remained one and the same. Despite the trebuchets that tossed flaming death towards the sun, never came the day of the giant's reign undone. A creature beyond compare, dangerously skillful and violent, for the first time in many years, Sleepy's hands shook no matter how hard she tried to hide it. With her last ounce of courage and also her sanity, she rushed the broad gates, preparing for a costly calamity. The stress was nothing new, that fear and uncertainty she knew too well. What's left to do but progress through, when your surrounding view is already hell? Automatically, the doors parted way and she stepped onto the floor inside. In Sleepy's mind, she imagined something different. She was perplexed by what she would find. No rending bodies gorged upon. No trace of macabre pawns who failed the murderous marathon. Her hypothesis drawn, but the conclusion foregone as she pondered how something was wrong. As Sleepy tapped her feet, clicking sounds of scuffling cleats, she crossed the chalky tiles that surrounded her as she waited by a counter.
hello?
Hi, I'm Todd. Welcome to White Castle. What can I get you?
Is this the mythical White Castle in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
And you're the infamous giant who slays all that come?
It's been so long, I don't even recognize that guy anymore. When that little dude, what's his name?
You mean Jack?
Bingo! When Jack stole the golden goose, I was so furious. And I thought to myself, I had it all that time, you know, all that wealth, and what good did I do with it?
Todd, for the last time, I told you, you're supposed to take your break, scheduled break, 10 minutes ago. Do you know what happens when you take your scheduled break late, Todd? Lisa's break has to be pushed back, then Julio's break needs to be pushed back, then Brenda doesn't take her lunch until after the summer rush. Do you know what happens then, Todd? Anarchy, Todd. Anarchy is what happens. This is White Castle. We have a standard. We do not tolerate anarchy at White Castle.
Sorry, Mr. Papanopoulos, it won't happen again. You know, he comes across like a real ball breaker, but he's actually a pretty good dude.
I literally have all the questions.
The giant stood back, and Sleepy heard what had occurred when the giant slept and in Jack crept to steal the valuable bird. He recalled his fateful fall after Jack hastily crawled back down the bean plant to his house he ran before the giant slipped on rainfall. After his injury and his dealings with insurance, the giant was expecting a hefty reimbursement. Unfortunately for the giant, you see, he legitimately forgot to disclose an important fact to those who needed to know. No golden egg taxes were included in his faxes to his humble human accountant, nor added to taxable income. Seems the giant fell prey to a bigger beast that day. The nefarious IRS did what the government does best when money owed is in play. After the loss and the crash of his stocks, the giant filed for bankruptcy, licensing his White Castle to the business White Castle, and applied for work anxiously.
Yeah, after federal tax and stipa, I barely make enough to cover the property tax, but I kind of like who I am right now, and I'm afraid of who I'd become if I had that wealth again.
No pity for me seemed to be what he pleaded, as if the comfort of less was exactly what he'd needed. Sleepy saw on his face a sense of peace that had replaced the pacing desire for power and greed. He had found some grace in defeat. For a moment, Sleepy felt jealous. Maybe her overzealous desire to set fire and leave breathless those who had left her restless. Perhaps better sleep was she.
So how do I get down from here?
Employee shuttle. One way up, one way down.
Where did customers even come from?
Oh, we only ever get one.
The giant stretched his finger, pointing towards the terrace. There sat the handsome Neil Patrick Harris. The time passed and the employees closed shop. Sleepy stood in front of the structure at the twice daily bus stop.
So do you live in the restaurant?
No, I live in the back with my manager Todd, and the other workers actually sublet the room, so I just sleep on my rug. It's all I got left, but, you know, I love my rug.
So who the hell is the bus for?
Who else? Him.
Neil Patrick Harris, the fairest and rarest of effervescence, ignored the duo's presence. As if called by the sky, he tiptoed a line and headed deep into the clouds, where mysteries would be found.
Mr. Patrick Harris, where are you going?
Wherever God takes me.
Alrighty then. Well, it's nice meeting you. Farewell and good luck.
Sleepy stepped on the vehicle, waiting for the wheels to start turning and get back to the burning revenge and vengeance so alluring.
Hi, I'm Matt. Please keep your hands to yourself, keep them in the vehicle at all times, and no flash photography.
Sleepy sat sheepishly retracing the encounter with the oddly friendly giant behind the vinyl covered counter.
How do you follow the bus route on an invisible road?
I know what you're thinking. Weird, busting this guy, but I assure you with the spells we put on this mama, nothing short of a bell rug could hurt us. Yep, this is actually an old convert we repurposed from what used to be a local high school, Sky High. Great school, but hard to drop out of. Yeah, this is a simple route, a peaceful route. No traffic, no pedestrians, no surprises.
As the bus turned, an unnerved Neil Patrick Harris, clearly the fairest, walked in front of the path of the bus unperturbed. The bus ran amok and swerved, finding no ounce of luck as it reached the road's edge and took flight like a duck.
Next up.
One rich man in ten with a satisfied mind.
Jack sat bare in his wicker chair as his wild copper-colored hair covered skin unaware. All the while, a familiar tune blared in the air. Proud at his action taken, had he been mistaken and become complacent, Sleepy would have sliced him into bits like bacon. Still in his mind, he couldn't find the peace he desired, for he realized the design of revenge would not tire. No body, no murder, no evidence left, but also no way of confirming her death. He wished to be patient, debonair and confident in her defeat, but all he can think is,
she'll kill me in my sleep.
Scared by a cracking switch alerting someone else was there, Jack spied eyes through the glass with a fast blast of the chicken. He cracked the glass and approached with tact and fear.
I saw that. I know you're out there.
Jack spotted Sleepy standing alone in the woods. He fired a second shot to her chest, but it appeared to be no good. Sleepy tactically dodged each egg without a single motion.
Must be a spell or some kind of potion causing this commotion. I swear there's no way you're walking away from this place.
Before firing more eggs indiscriminately every which way, a new image of Sleepy appeared on display. Perplexed and confuzzled, Jack snarled and struggled to stumble out a mumble describing his troubles.
You're a ghost. You're just a figment of my imagination. I'm losing my goddamn mind.
Fear coiled in Jack, awaiting reprisals or the specter's denial, but nothing seemed to keep his shattered courage intact. For what Jack saw, if he had exercised discretion, was not Sleepy at all. It was just her reflection.
Hi, Jack.
The magic mirror suddenly appeared on the window facing his way. Realizing his mistake, Jack quickly turned away, but it was too late as Sleepy sealed his fate with a sword to the heart standing inches from his face.
Bye, Jack.
With a flick and a twist, Jack turned into a fountain with such volume an artist could speckle a mountain. His unfolded flesh bloomed like a crescent, harsh, such a lesson, but he had to respect it. Sleepy glared at the mirror, expecting some dark irreverence.
We're gonna make a lot of money on that bird.
I'm gonna keep a hold of him. I need to make sure he has a proper home, with someone that will use that wealth to help others.
Or, and this is a really good, serious idea, we could beat by the little f***er and then we can eat him. Then nobody gets any money.
That's fair, too.
Sleepy headed out the door as the record skipped its song.
Money can't buy love that's grown cold, love that's grown cold.
So, if a queen dies silently in her castle and no one knows,
Is she really dead?
It won't be silent. I can guarantee that.
Unbeknownst to Sleepy, the Queen sat in her royal chambers making wagers in her favor behind the political scenes. Elderly and stressed, her brow furrowed from oppressed anger, jealousy, and derangement still quelling over Sleepy's engagement.
She cannot be discovered to be who she really is, as long as that pointless quest of hers keeps her away from the governor's chambers. I see no reason to make her stray the paw.
But my queen, she has already killed
a bunch of useless, overpaid mercenaries. Do you know what the greatest thing about mercenaries are?
My queen?
If they die, you just hire more. I want this place swimming with them. When she does show up, and I know she will, we won't be unprepared.
Yes, my queen.
And as for you, your loyalty has been on question. You will be handsomely rewarded for your services. After you're released from your prison, of course. Only providing you bring her here. Alone and as ignorant as the day she woke. Now, one more time before I slumber. Say it.
Thou art the fairest in the land.
Please, I beg you, if you leave us now, we will run far away and never return. You can keep your kingdom. I just want her.
Well, since you asked nicely, we'll finish you first, so you won't have to wash your feet.
No, please, I'm begging you.
No need to thank me. Just being my regular cute self.
Oh my god.
Let me guess. Another nightmare.
Sweat and breath under her sheets, bare undressed chills would creep up her sleek neck, denying all relief as she sat in the dark, ironically, unable to sleep. 5 years she slumbered unaware, her number was drawn under heavy sedation for nearly 2,000 dawns. She couldn't yawn without fear she'd slip back into a snooze and lose another half a decade worth of her youth. To her, sleeping wasn't the only thing left corrupt. She had fits of terror each time she woke up, anxiously wondering the date and time, leaving no rest for her crestfallen mind. Heading out the door to nowhere in particular, she needed air and hungered for dinner. One final stop before her dream of revenge and vengeance at hand would come to an end. She paced through the village looking for a brood to pillage, fully aware of what place she graced, since the queen's castle walls surrounded the place. Stumbling upon a local pub quite unique, she breached the archways through the crooked creek.
What kind of fairy tale animal does a girl have to kiss to get a drink around here?
My oil.
Sleeping Beauty.
Blessing, great.
That's one heck of a story about Red and Sleepy, but I heard it went different.
Well, you know, artistic license, you see.
Well, until we meet again.
Evening, my lady.
Beside Sleepy's stool sat two drunken fools arguing together quite loud about a vehicle from the clouds.
Harold! For the last time, just admit you sold it. Admit you sold it, give me half the money like last time and we could be friends again. You've been telling me the same lie for 5 years. Last year it was a flood. One time it was locusts. Just admit you sold the pumpkin for booze money.
I won't admit it. I did it. Not this time.
You're telling me the prized pumpkin we've been working our asses off growing for the Queen's wedding ceremony was destroyed by a flying bus.
Fooling bus. Buses can't fly.
And they don't drive on sunshine either. So how the hell did it fall from the sky?
I don't know. I don't work for the bus company. I don't know their route.
And the bus wasn't destroyed.
Continued on to the next stop.
Someone got out.
Waved goodbye.
So instead of believing that you sold the pumpkin for drinking money, like you have every year for the past 5 years, you want me to believe that a magic school bus from the clouds fell and crushed it. A magic school bus.
We live in a world with talking animals, fairies, hideous giant monsters, and magical plants. And you don't believe in a magic school bus?
Fair play.
My deepest, Sympathies for your pumpkin.
She finished her grog, put toes to logs, and headed out the front door. Sleepy couldn't quite hide a smile that sneaked a whole mile wide, but inside she knew the time had come true to decide now or never to collect the debt she was due. A whole month to plan and vet, to work them like marionettes, she'd waited long enough since seeking justice on the previous quartet. Almost a month since she'd reawakened, forsaken no more, her steadiness unshaken. Scaling brick and mortared walls, fingers gripped with their awl, for a fall would solve little and perhaps mark her death. But it was the quickest, most direct way to evade and prevent an escape from the queen who'd Sleepy hoped to condemn. Upended, Sleepy slotted, her hands in space allotted, until spotting a fine line of soldiers trotting single file, no time to falter. She knew she stood no chance to a head-on advance, she'd have to play this quietly, so higher she climbed defiantly. Slipping herself over the crest of smoothened window frames and bejeweled headrests, she spotted a closet and headed inside, her stomach had knotted with desire's fiery cries. The queen scurried in and dismissed her men before the mercenaries headed back out to continue patrolling again. Back against the closet, the queen removed her corset, slowly heading towards her chamber's bathroom entry. Sleepy could wait no more, and to the queen's neck she would deposit her blade hastily and intently. As soon as the lock clicked behind, she sprang with vicious murder in mind, hoping to catch the queen unaware while powdering her nose or brushing her hair, bursting through the door before immediately being disarmed, but not by an act of violence. She was felled by an act of charm.
Henry?
Aurora.
The golden vase shattered as Sleepy splattered against the cold stone slabs once more. As Charming knelt down over the battered, tattered Sleepy and whispered to his love, nevermore.
How long has it been?
Now he's gone. I don't know why. And till this day, sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye. He didn't take the time to lie. My baby shot me down.
Although Sleepy's chance circumstance may make it seem as if her advanced trance-like state could precipitate a semblance of remembrance, she didn't. No thought echoed in her mind for the first time in many nights. She did not dream about her loss. She did not dream about the fight. She did not dream about love at all costs. She just let the darkness swirl inside.
Please, darling, I've waited 5 years. Another 5 minutes simply won't do.
Sleepy's eyes tried to pry themselves wide, but the blood flow supplied was internally denied. She felt the welt dealt develop on the back of her head, and in that moment she felt content to be dead. Queen had snuck behind, taking advantage of Sleepy's shock. Too simple would it be, it seems, to pass through the door unlocked. Luckily, the blow, as dazing as it seemed, only left superficial wounds, and soon she could see. Most in that moment would break down and cry, her mind festering and turbid. Never once did Sleepy wonder why. She only ever asked if he did.
Did you ever love me?
Of course he didn't, you ugly little piglet. He wanted a real woman.
Charming and the Queen's lips pressed for a passionate kiss before starting again, torturing Sleepy's soul far worse than the bullets that pierced her skin. Magic mirrors stared, eyes wincing and furrowed, shining behind the traitorous duo in the glass atop the lofty bureau. Mind racing, pacing memories quite thorough, she couldn't find the words to speak, instead the words she'd borrow.
You can have the kingdom, I just want...
to win, and I win. I won. I took the throne from your naive father, and now I'm giving it to a real man.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, let the guards know about our little visitor, just in case he slips away again. Ooh, and darling?
Yes?
Bring the wine.
You are delectable.
Indeed, my love.
The queen strolled out of the room, closing the door shut, giving privacy to the two. As the fog lifted, Sleepy's gaze sifted for a weapon fate gifted so she could slay her lover twisted. Charming knew her simple plans, so he palmed his hilt inside his hand.
I absolutely love to hate that woman. The second we are married, I'm gonna wrap my hands around her frail, decrepit neck and snap it like a cracker. I see 10 steps ahead, which is why you'll find this room is woefully empty.
Sleepy's disgust and rage ignited.
Please tell me you're not this short-sighted. Do you think the people will celebrate a king who murdered his wife?
No, but they would celebrate a man avenging his lost love.
Charming spoke of his plan at hand, although not grand, would secure himself the land. Suspiciously, a package of great value will be delivered to the houses of prominence. Evidence of the queen's involvement in Sleepy's demise, as well as the queen's dreams of dominance. Charming explained with a pained expression.
You awoke and came home to find the queen had married your love. You revealed the ugly truth about what happened. The queen attacked you in a fit of rage, and seeing you die by the queen's hands, your dedicated, loving former suitor, me, would have no choice but to react with violence, especially after the queen manages to finish the job, and, you know, kill you. Or so they'll think. I grow tired of this oppressive state, and when the people find out how I've been betrayed, they will beg me, bend a knee, be our king.
Inside herself, Sleepy felt something worse, more queer than the mere damage dealt as she struggled to stand. Falling, she knelt, bended knee as if to beg to the mirror himself.
You seriously knew this whole time?
Sorry, kid. These are the breaks. What makes any difference? I didn't tell you because...
I just wanted to see the look on your face. Charming smiled, beguiled by the mirror's cruel tactics, all the while cackling over Sleepy's plan, believing it lacking.
But, if there is a but...
I also didn't tell the queen or Charming about our plan.
Our?
You can't be serious. I'm on the eve of becoming king. I have soldiers. I have assassins. I have vast amount of wealth and power backing me. You have a treacherous mirror feeding you lies. And I'm supposed to be afraid? It took you nearly a month just to get caught.
It didn't take me a month to plan this. This is not the plan. There is no plan. Suicide missions don't require a whole lot of planning. I thought you were dead. My plan was to come here for all of this. I wanted it all pulled down, one by one.
Sleepy stood tall, ignoring her aches, cracking a smile as Charming's hand began to quake.
I want to pull it down, brick by brick.
Charming stood aloof with a goofy look upon his face, so Sleepy saved him some grace. She took a step forward in his direction, calmly speaking with a quiet expression. Sleepy's hand stretched across the etched stone gloss that sat atop crisscross stone and chiseled designs she had missed more than she could combine.
It's time.
The future king's ignorance was clearly presented by an icy cold stare at the two he resented.
Time for what, your master plan?
Sleepy tilted her head towards the ceiling before a maddening sound sent the mercenaries reeling. A feeling of total loss descended over the castle, even with this army. Charming was not ready for this battle.
I have everything. The crown, the kingdom, the army. What could a pathetic girl like you possibly do to stop me?
Me? Nothing. But she sure as hell can.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
fire.
The lush brush surrounded and confounded Mirror, who leered at Sleepy, pondering it loud for all to hear.
Why are we walking aimlessly through the woods looking for giant piles of
We're not walking aimlessly. We're tracking.
It came to her on a night after the fright of a nightmare. She suddenly felt very ill-prepared. The fear she carried added so much despair, she hoped it would disappear so she could persevere, but her chances were slim, as she was well aware.
And what happens when we find what we're tracking?
I don't know. Make some kind of deal.
It's gonna roast and eat you.
Maybe it will recognize me.
It recognizes you?
And then it roasts and eats you.
How about we just go back to the castle and ambush the queen? You can easily scale the brick walls.
I'm not going to that castle until I have an edge.
Your edge is gonna roast you and eat you.
Can you seriously stop repeating that? I don't need to hear it right now.
Dragon swooped towards the roasted riverside, carved out a nest in stone between a mountain divide inside of the shined black glass bedding created from its size. Its size obscured by a quiet evergreen forest, Sleepy regretted not plying herself with alcohol until her fear would subside as the moment did warrant.
Okay. So, what now?
Exactly. What now?
I'll try to, maybe if, okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Oh, you idiot.
Sleepy step behind, cover over barren empty tundra laid waste, coated with its slick ebony case that had replaced the glass, the rock, the dirt, making steel a light dessert. The giant-scaled gargantuan made Sleepy feel more human, but she knew a misstep would cause the wrong death and her plans would come to ruin.
Okay, I'll stay calm, and I'll stay calm, and... Hey there, beautiful. Remember me? I'm the one that set you free. Please don't eat me. Why the hell did I say that?
Springing to life and beginning to stalk. Singing like a bird, Sleepy began to talk.
Oh my god, it's gonna love to eat me. I came this on you because I feel responsible for what they did to you. I'm the one who you were guarding in that tower. They kind of put me under a spell where I slept for 5 years so they could stand around and laugh at my suffering. Usual evil stepmother type stuff. But I was just wondering if you could come back with me. And, you know, burn it all to nothing. I'm starting to wonder why I thought you'd understand me.
As catapults and trebuchets soared to breed in every way, the dragon's combative siege against the queen's massive castle was well underway. It sprayed ablaze, turning all ashen gray. A bouquet of death so adept it made stone and melted souffle. No match for the flying monster, most soldiers didn't even bother to mount any sense of offense or defense, leaving trails betraying their honor.
What's wrong with you? She's gonna kill us all!
Exactly.
The dragon's fire was concentrated, however the lack of planning was demonstrated by striking the base of the tower basement, leaving foundations devastated. The floor began to split between Sleepy and Charming, harming the integrity of the structures, parting the room in half while fire continued bombarding. The gap increased with each second, separating Sleepy from her newfound objective.
Once again, you have terrible luck.
Charming departed by darting out of the archway into the hall, while a hail of rubble and rock began to fall, causing the crease to increase by 10 or more feet as Sleepy leapt across the concave concrete, coming close before falling to the floor below. She landed hard on her toes and rolled with adrenaline, blunting the brunt of the blow. Running into the hall to see a riot of commotion with mercenaries and soldiers questioning their devotion. Even after spotting Sleepy, they seemed not to care, as if death itself was floating in the air. As Molten Inferno breached the open window, Sleepy barely dove while the mercenaries were too slow.
Hey, this way. I'll get you out.
Hold up. Why the hell should I trust you? You knew that son of a bitch was alive this whole time and said nothing.
I told you I just wanted to see the look on your face.
Sleepy ignored the mirror's queer remark as she headed across the dark, charred floors heading towards an adjacent door.
Oh, okay, listen. I didn't want to be the one to break your heart. Chop, chop, single file, let's get the show on the road.
She dashed down, directed by her shining companion, before the dragon struck again with reckless abandon. A rose-red tornado turning each step to Play-Doh, soldiers caught in their flight, turning riper than tomatoes. Tucking onto the third floor, Sleepy tried to ignore the near makeshift volcano that continued to pour more molten stone across her path, cornering her between a river of death and a wall of glass.
Okay, what have you got? What's your plan now?
Thinking.
Oh god, is that bad?
No, I have an idea. Jump out the window.
What?
Jump out the window, aim for the stables, that or vacation in Pompeii.
Okay, let's do this. I'm ready.
Gripping her two hands on the edge of the frame, she launched through the window. The room left aflame. The fall was untamed and almost too rough to take. Especially since the stable roof decided to break.
Sleepy, wake up. Wake up. Aurora, wake up.
Charming scurried like a rat through the paths of the soldiers who felt like their shoulders were constructed of boulders. Faced with the prospect of being burned alive, none of them were now willing to sacrifice their lives, at least for nothing less than a chance to survive. As powerful as Charming thought he was, he knew the castle was felled, and no one knew just how willing he was to leave the
queen in that hell. Making his way towards the center well in the courtyard, he was amazed by the destruction he saw. He surely knew one wrong move he'd be through, so he needed to rally the guards.
Men, will you not protect your king? Are you all cowards?
And what of your queen?
Yes, and what about your queen?
I'm so glad you're alive, darling. I was on my way back with the wine when the dragon attacked. Well, and I almost died.
That would have been a pity.
What?
Oh, we need to exit the city.
Led by the soldiers towards the front gate, charming the queen's foul mouths were left agape. Standing amongst debris and singed blackened flora, ready for battle was hardened Princess Aurora. The queen cackled loud and Charming stood proud.
And what in the hell do you want now?
As the mercenaries began stepping toward a steady stance sleepy, the sound of pounding fists made the guards feel queasy. Because unbeknownst to the parties involved, the mirror smartly shined to the Crooked Creek pub and the local meat shop and the local beet crop and anything that shined or glistened or gleamed all the way to the swamp and everywhere in between. He spoke in detail to any who'd listen about the truth of the queen and Sleepy's cruel prison.
How the crown filled them was a call of attrition.
Before the mayor knew it, a rebellion had risen. As the splintering boards gave way for the doors, as the crowd entered loud, thirsty for blood and holding ground. Sleepy looked around and saw the villagers had taken her side. This was the world she once looked at with pride. Honest creatures of all creeds standing side by side, ready to die to defend what is right. The rebels rushed the guards with chaotic will, thrill-seeking risks giving the queen's men the chills. Spying the two cowards fleeing the scene of the battle, Sleepy chased the queen and Charming up the courtyard of the castle. Before they could make it even halfway, the dragon mid-flight torpedoed toward the tower like a meteorite, leaving the entryway sealed rather tight.
Okay, well, at least we died together, my lord.
Oh, shut up, you useless hag. Don't you have any tunnels or secret passages in this place?
Why are you speaking to me so?
While the two argued out of fire-breathing range, the giant beast stretched its breast rather strange. It heaved its chest sharply inwards and out, spouting viscous fluid from out of its mouth.
It's the one chance we've got. Head for the gates. Oh, thank God, I think it's dying.
They did not. For the mighty throat of the mythical beast was simply regurgitating a previous beast. Spewing out from its digestive tract was a knight's suit of armor, fully intact. The mirror watching them both from the shine on the suit's back.
Furball. No, wait. Sirball.
Charming barely spotted Sleepy with his depth of field as he pulled the dress of the queen and used her as a human shield. Hiding behind his forsworn love, the blade slashed across her upper arm, drawing blood. The queen's eyes wide had died inside, no longer fell for the charm of this thug as she pressed him back towards the water well dug.
You traitor! You've been waiting for this moment whole time. You want her to kill me.
No, darling, you slipped.
Preferably, you would kill her, and then he would kill you, or,
did you forget saying?
I'm gonna wrap my hands around her frail, decrepit neck and snap it like a cracker.
Queen lunged her nails at Charming's throat as the two struggled unaware of their approach. She gave one final jolt to the man she previously thought to vote. The two crest the edge of the moss-covered well. A sudden loss of balance at jerking motions propelled the dastardly duo to the fate they befell. Charming's fingers held on to the cracks in between, but he was weighed down by the gown of the queen.
Aurora! You have to get me out of here!
How dare you call out to her!
Aurora! I need you now more than ever!
Sleepy looked down, ignoring his pleas as Charming and the Queen fought each other to breathe.
You really think you're better than me? I know what I want, and I'll kill anyone who dares to get in my way. What have you been doing for the last 31 days?
Living a lie. I don't want to do this anymore.
Sleepy's hands released the blade, at peace with her own decision she had finally made for herself and no one else would dissuade. She pulled the short levers, Charming so clever, quickly moved away from the oak bucket that splayed over the queen's head, knocking her under the waves.
Oh, thank God. Please drown. Please drown. Oh, this day sucks. Stop being dramatic and help me climb up the
you
rope.
You help me up the rope. I'm your queen.
You two deserve each other.
As Sleepy began walking, she found a crowd starting to form as the villagers brought water and fire-suppressing foam to put out the carnage and salvage the throne.
that many villagers had overthrown their oppressors while some were discussing the monarchy's successor.
Princess Aurora, we're glad you're alive.
You crush my pumpkin.
Shh. Well, we all agree, and we believe that you, Aurora, you should be our new queen.
You want a queen? She's back in that well, because that's what the throne does to people. I wouldn't trust anyone with it, even me.
Well, what do you think we should do?
I don't know how many great victories you've had, but I have never had one in my whole life, and I sure as hell ain't gonna stand around here talking politics. I want me a pint.
Well, there's no way all these people are fitting inside the Crooked Creek.
You know what? I think I know the perfect place.
I know you. I want me one.
Hey, Aurora, great to see you again.
Hi, Todd.
Oh, no way, Goosey Goose, dude. We want 500 Zydecombos.
We're here to feast.
Ain't no better feast than the lambs, my friends. So who's picking up this check?
She'll pay. She crushed my pumpkin. Shh.
Hey, let me pay for
it. It's Neil Patrick Harris.
He's got skin like September rain.
Wait, I can do it.
You know, you made my bus solid sky, right?
Doja.
Yeah, it was a dick move on my part. That's why I'm paying for your meal.
Fair enough.
Todd, seriously, do you think these jokes are funny? 500 slider combos? We haven't made 500 slider combos since we've been Oh, pick my mother's penny.
Hey, check out all the customers, Mr. Papanopoulos. Who's ready for some White Castle?
Brenda!
Oh, it's finally here, Todd. Anarchy! Anarchy!
Give me a boost.
With what?
Go underwater and lift me up.
With what?
Hey, you guys know I'm real tight with Lassie, right? Should you get here, lickety split.
Water's water have to be shiny.
Shut up, fool. He can help us.
How? He doesn't have arms.
Lassie has arms.
Quiet, you pawn.
He'll tell someone we're down here, and he'll get us out.
Oh, I already told someone you were stuck down here, but I don't think they're going to let you out.
Oh, is that the...
Am I unmuted?
Yeah. Is that incredible?
Okay.
I mean, I knew it was a lot of work. We listened to it in pieces, but how impressive is it to sit there and listen to that from start to finish between the sound effects and the voices and the skit itself and the nod to so many pre-existing fairy tale character type of thing. I mean, it was...
It's just like radio was back in the day.
And he keeps you enthralled with all the sound effects and the background and even the footsteps as somebody would run and I got a kick out of the occasional beep. You know, I mean, it was really brilliant work. I'm so thrilled that we got the chance to play it in one.
Yeah. Epic. It was different when you got them all in a row, when you listened to all of them.
Yeah, like I said, it was cool to get to hang on the edge of your seat waiting for the next tidbit each week for the Saturday shows, but that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Excellent.
I'm delighted, and I want to thank We Are All Gonzo and everyone who helped him on the voices there, because it was like, wow, so impressive. And it was our honor to get to feature it tonight. And we are going to shut the show down, and the episode will be available on demand in perpetuity now. And before I do, I have a small clip to play from the amazing author of that epic drama, and I'll push that right now.
On behalf of We Are All Gonzo, T-Bow Lawyers, and Sticky Fingers, I would like to thank all the listeners, commentators, commenters, and people who have been supportive along the way. A special thanks to the groups A Team of Voices, Il Nostro Regno, and Poetic Slice of Life for finding the time and space to listen to our work. We appreciate you all and hope to bring a smile to your faces during these difficult times. Thanks again. We are beyond appreciative.
That was awesome, and
cool.
I just happen to know that on behalf of Il Costo Nostra, A Poetic Slice of Life, and A Team of Voices, we were thrilled, all of us, to get to use this work on our shows. Well done, Gonzo and crew.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, that one's going down in history as amazement. Thanks for hanging out and listening with me, Hatter. And thanks again, Gonzo, for sharing it with us.
Yeah, thanks, Gonzo.
And on that note, we are going to leave you and say I hope you enjoyed the show. See you next time. Love and respect, everyone.
Yep.
Thanks, Hatter.
See you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.